You are listening to The Huddle by Landrea Seals Green. I don't even know if this should be the name of the podcast. I don't even know how long this podcast will work or last. But for right now, we're going to get into it. Let's huddle. Hi, everybody. Welcome to season one, episode one of The Huddle. In this episode, I thought we would start by talking about or speaking about something that is really tough thematically, and that is the ability to answer tough questions. What does that mean to answer a tough question? And oftentimes when these questions are asked of us, it is usually in a high stakes type of engagement, whether it's with another peer, whether it's with a parent, or an environment where you are positionally placed to have the, it is presumed or assumed that you would have the answer. And, you know, sometimes you just don't. I will have to say that most of us may not have the answers all the time in the moment. And maybe it's time that we start using a little bit of communication, one, to give a buffer, but two, to almost start with a version of, I don't know, pause, but let's flesh this out together. Not, I don't know, and let me get back to you. And there's a time and place for that. But when parents ask questions like, when will my child speak? Or when will he get better? Or have you ever seen a child like mine before? Those are real things that people ask. And it's a good opportunity to think about root cause. What's the root cause of some of the questions? And a lot of the questions are really from a space of just needing to know, perhaps even a little bit of sprinkles of fear, which could be, you know, I need my child to talk. I really do. I need them to speak because the world communicates. No matter how progressive we get as a society, we still have expectations for how we communicate and expectations for the reciprocal exchange of communication. And will my child be okay without me if this person does not get these skills of communication and advocacy and the things that communication can gain for or obtain for a person? So sometimes getting to root cause is important and saying, let's talk about this deeper with the parent is important. But the larger thing here is when we are asked tough questions, do we afford ourselves the pause to think, to reflect, to give the answers that we need to give? How deep do we go by ourselves, within ourselves, for ourselves to answer the tough questions in our own lives? And if that is not the repertoire that we have yet developed or it is evolving, it is going to be even more challenging to answer someone else's questions when we can't answer our own. And this goes beyond being a clinician or behavior analyst. We are all people. And as a person in this space of growing and evolution, being able to go deep, maybe not too deep, but to be able to carry ourselves down this path that we are on in life and being able to answer our own questions gives us better perspective to answer someone else's. It gives us the comfort in the pause. It gives us also the ability to say, you know, that's a good question. I don't quite know, but let's talk about it. Because that's a real answer. And if we think about it from an antecedent behavior and consequence perspective, how we answer the behavior will establish the relationship. It is the beginning. It provides itself as a consequence for the relationship that is to come and a setting event for the relationship that is to come. So you have, I mean, this is the most complicated ABC, I think, which is fun. But when we answer or don't, and when we start off with it, a good example is a parent saying, hey, you know, will my child speak? And, you know, we've run through the context, if you will, and the verbal banter that could ensue when that question is asked. But if our response is, now, we've heard this, I've probably said it at some point to someone, I don't remember, but it's a huge possibility that it happened. Well, you know, communication is comprised of so many things. And that's a very canned statement. It's very catchy. But people know that communication, there's more than one way to communicate. They don't need a therapist for that. They don't need us for that. They ask the question about themselves, about their child, based upon the root cause and the frame from which they stand. The frame that we may or may not be able to relate to personally, but the frame that we should be able to have garnered some perspective and appreciation for. So people ask these questions, and providing real answers becomes important to setting the tone for any future communication exchanges between parents and therapists. And this is especially true in that generational space many of us find ourselves in with a family, or a perception of cultural difference that may seem on the surface unrelatable. And so when we use our communication to really authentically have good exchanges with parents, then those other barriers move aside because of the need that was asked or not clearly inquired about, but the answer that was given. So it's really important that when we are asked tough questions, that we begin to think about, from a humanistic standpoint, have we been able to hold our own personal tough questions? And then that gives us the space to be able to make room for someone else's tough questions. The second thing is thinking about this from an ABC perspective. When we are providing an answer, is this answer a canned answer, or is this answer sufficient and good enough to give a good setting event to set the tone for the relationship between parent and clinician that can evolve and move us forward with parents in a progressive way? Also understanding that relational frames of parents may not be something that we can relate to depending on our own life, but developed perspective would give us an appreciation for the frame in which they arrive and ask the question, and the how they ask the question, with the how with emotion, the how with that is plain, may have more or less affect than we can appreciate. But the how is when we understand that every human being walks in the room with their own history and frame, we also have, what is that word? We develop a little bit more empathy, perspective and empathy for people that we engage with. You know, I remember when I was starting my career and I didn't have children. I wasn't even sure I wanted them, children, that is. I felt like most of my friends had gotten married in graduate school, law school, and I had graduated from that point. And I was maybe one of the last of my friends to actually get married. I was okay with that and just thought, you know, I'll just be married to my career and we'll just, you know, have a great life together, me and this career. And then I got married and had children, But we weren't even sure we were going to become parents because we counted ourselves as a family with just the two of us. And maybe that is important for someone as you listen. But I remember being in graduate school or being a professional, and my mentor was taught, we were talking about a family, and this parent had said to me, you know, you don't have any children. You don't understand. How could you understand? Because you don't have any kids. Of course you have this perspective. And there is a difference, I think, in having a perspective, but I just never thought that ovaries should be part of that conversation. And I say this because my mentor gave me words, and she gave me an exercise freedom to respond in kind to those things, because there are times where people say, well, you're not this, so how could you understand that? And because we are, you know, in this space of answering tough questions and being in tougher encounters or situations with different families, sometimes you really do need to not arm yourself from a guard perspective, but you need to have a repertoire of language that responds, because sometimes things hit deeply. So for the person who is asked a tough question or a tough statement is said, and there's a struggle with, you know, reproduction, and you want children and you just don't quite have them yet, and you've experienced a loss and all of those things, and someone says something, you've got to be able to have exercise freedom in your language within the confines of what it means to be a clinician. And be very clear, I'm not saying be professional, because everyone's professional, especially here in this huddle. We're not going to use the word professional and unprofessional to characterize people. Listen, there's language that people use to clinicians, and it just hits a different way depending on the space that you're in your own life. And for me, when the parents said that, I had not had children. I didn't even know that at some point we would have difficulty having children, because it probably would have hit me differently had that been the space I was in when someone said that to me. So when it was said, I simply responded with, "You're right, I don't have children. But it does not take my reproductive system or ovaries to be able to guide you down this path." The parent was shocked that I said it, but we never opened that door again. And then there was a level of respect for the fact that within this space of being a clinician, I would still show up as myself and advocate for me. Because people are people, and as clinicians, we absolutely have boundaries. And in order for us to do our job well, we need to understand our boundaries, give ourselves a space for communication and words to be able to support ourselves as we are on this job. And I think that's one of the reasons that burnout, one of them, that burnout ensues for the clinician, no matter where job location, no matter where he or she may find, where they may find themselves, because we're just not showing up for ourselves in this way. We're giving, giving, giving. And as humans, we are struggling in some areas. And a lot of us have had this contested worth as a clinician and understanding based upon our ability to have or have not children. And you never want that to get in the way. So I am still thankful for this mentor to this day who gave me those words and gave me the space to have exercise freedom. May you have the same. And if this podcast did that for you today, then I'm happy. And we also wanted to say welcome to our season one, episode one of The Huddle. And we hope that you will continue to listen in and share. And as always, Thank you for joining us today on The Huddle, and remember to find your people in all of the places and always, always take time to huddle. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye now. To earn CEUs for this episode, head on over to The Huddle site at thehuddle.online. I need you to log in, complete the activity, submit, and then earn your CEUs. We hope it's just that easy. Until next time, find your people in all of the places and take the time to huddle.